Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period. Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And Matt, guess what I really enjoyed last night? Nikola Vucevic absolutely going off. And I'm not here. We're not talking about how many Pacers were missing last night. We're talking about Vooch. How are you, man?
Dude, Jordan, what's going on? What's up, Bulls Nation? What's up to the folks in Locker Room app? That's why you go get a guy like that. The Vooch performance we saw last night. Yes, the Pacers were shorthanded, but that's the result you would expect from a team that's trying to make the playoffs. And they didn't just beat them. They beat them very, very convincingly. And that's the outcome you should expect. And that's the type of performance that you give up two first-round draft picks to get. 37, 12, and 5. Vooch is just, wow. He's so fun to watch, man.
Yeah, regardless that Sabonis or Brogdon or Miles Turner only played half of this game, still, this is by far, it just seemed like everything was clicking for this Bulls team. It's the first time that I can genuinely say since they made the deals that it seems like every guy is gelling out there. So I want to get more into this Pacers game in this first segment. Shout out to everybody, like you said, on Locker Room right now. We're live on Locker Room doing our weekly room. We will take your mailbag questions if you're listening to us live right now. We're going to take some voicemails and some texts too, but want to recap this game really fast. So hang tight if you got a question while you're in Locker Room. We'll take your questions. Your requests to be live with us here at the end of the segment. But Matt, outside of the injuries and all of that, I mean, just watching Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic just be able to finally mesh and figure out the two game that was so successful with LaVine and Young the previous part of the season, Zadaransky and Vucevic seem like they're finding their groove too. It's nice to see Thad and Vooch on the floor at the same time because I both think that they offer different things. A lot more effective than Lauri Markkanen's been this season, man. What did you take away from last night? Anything that surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, the two-man game between Vooch and LaVine is already looking unguardable. And the more they play together, the more they gel and figure out where each other are on the floor and where they like to get the ball, that's just going to continue to build. And it was nice seeing some of the comments from, you know, players post game. Somebody asked Zach LaVine, who could still be not 100% from that ankle. It looked like at one point last night, he did come up a little bit hobbly after a certain play. And, you know, kudos to Zach as always for toughing it out and playing through an injury that could be bothering him still. Between that and the fact that he had a quiet night, a not great night shooting the ball, and, you know, finished with, I think, 19 points, and the Bulls still won this game easily. And he, you know, somebody asked him, what's it like to be able to have a teammate like Vooch to kind of take the load off on a night where you're not 100% and your shot's not falling? And he said, it's a relief. And man, I totally felt that sentence from Zach LaVine.
Isn't it crazy too? Because I kind of felt that in the second half is uh-oh, the Pacers are making their little run. They're not going away, especially in that fourth quarter, man. The third quarter, the Bulls lit it up and I think went up at one point 23 points.
Vooch had 14 in the third quarter.
He was just absolutely destroying. They didn't have an answer for him, but I wasn't super comfortable because even the way that Adam Amin and Stacey King were talking when the Bulls were up 15 with 8 minutes left in the fourth, it's like, oh, we got to be careful here. We've seen this before. The Bulls need to pull up and start making some stops. Otherwise, this game's going to get close towards the end. And they tried to make it close, but like you said, you know, the sense of relief when Zach is being double teamed, they're throwing basically everything at Zach. We finally have a second option to score, and vice versa now, too. Vooch was the main scorer in this game tonight, but Zach's still there to be able to attack. So I think it's lessened the pressure on a lot of the guys that have been asked to do a whole ton, and we'll talk about them in a second, but Coby White and Lauri Markkanen being the two guys specifically, I just thought it was an overall good game. And again, this Pacers team is very good, but they're also very good when they have Sabonis, Brogdon, and Turner fully healthy and playing. I think this game goes a little bit differently if all three of those guys are playing.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can say that about any game where guys miss time and are not in the lineup. But, I mean, like, you take every break that is given to you in the NBA, especially this weird season. We're kind of not, you know, we're not in the bubble like the continuation of last season, but COVID is still an issue. Teams have been dealing with players being out for contact tracing all season long. We just got the latest report earlier this afternoon, only one positive test across the entire leagues were the players, and that is a continuation of the most recent positive trend of compared to earlier this season when lots of players were testing positive. But either way, in this weird kind of, you know, crazy season, take the breaks that are given to you and make the most of them. And I think that earlier this season when the Bulls were still trying to get used to Billy Donovan and he was trying to figure out his new team, they lost a lot of games they should have won, could have won. You mentioned, you know, the slipping of the fourth quarter leads and that kind of creeping up in your worried mind last night. And I don't blame you. I kind of felt the same way. But maybe this is the sign of the Bulls starting to be a team of the caliber that can close out shorthanded teams when they should, like they should, because that is something that the Bulls let slip. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't come back to bite them as far as their playoff chances. But you're absolutely right. That is something that has been a problem for this team. And hopefully last night was the start of them correcting that problem.
Last thing I want to touch on this game real fast is just the difference we saw in Coby White and Lauri Markkanen off the bench. I'm not falling for it this time, Matt. I promise you I'm not falling for it. Lauri Markkanen had a really nice game. Oh, gee, I wonder why. Because he knocked down a couple of shots early on in the game. It's all about getting his confidence going. Anytime he knocks shots down early on in games, he's willing to contribute in other areas. When he starts missing shots, he misses a couple of threes early on, you see, kind of mopes. And that mentality has been used by a bunch of different players. And we've seen, I think that there's a theme going on with this Bulls team right now, and the message that's being sent from Billy Donovan and from the top, from AK to Mark Eversley, is like, if you guys want to pout and you don't want to accept the role and you want to accept the challenge, soft isn't the right word to put it because that's not what I'm thinking, but just having kind of a weak mindset, and I don't know, like we talked about, if that's from last year, or the last couple of years of losing. But you've seen, they've quickly made those changes and said, if you're going to mope and you're not going to try and improve things, we got to make changes. And sure enough, Billy Donovan did that. It was good to see both of those guys getting going last night. But again, I'm not going to be fooled by the whole confidence thing with Lauri knocking some shots down early, and especially against a defense that was missing three of arguably Indiana's best players. So I don't know. Are you falling for the bench love that was going on last night between White and Markkanen?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you mean by falling for it. Like, does it change my mind about Lauri and Coby being starting caliber players for the future of this organization? No, I'm out on that. Coby still has, you know, several years of his rookie scale contract, and I think has proven that he can be a very good version of what he is, which is a put your head down and get to the rim scorer and a great catch and shoot guy off the ball. Point guard, not so much. Lauri, you know, people that listen to this podcast know how frustrating he's been and how hard it's been for me to let go. But I let go weeks ago, and nothing he could do off the bench is going to make me change my mind that this team shouldn't pay him $20 million a season, because we've never seen it consistently. So as far as the bench production and giving the bench some love last night, which Billy Donovan did, yeah, fine, great. You should be happy about the fact that two of the guys off your bench, who used to be starters, but now they're not, combined for 28 points, 9 boards, and 6 assists. That's great production between Kobe and Lowry off the bench. But that doesn't change the fact that neither of them look to be in this team's starting lineup long term.
I am a little surprised, and maybe I shouldn't be, but Donovan only went really with a 7-man rotation last night. I mean, you can count the 15 minutes from Troy Brown Jr. That was more in the third quarter, and he did a good job in the 15 minutes he played. Got his hands in some passing lanes. I know he turned the ball over on a fast break, and that was just kind of like a stupid, dumb mistake that it was a freak thing. Again, I really like his mentality, his defensive. He just brings a spark off the bench that the Bulls haven't had all year. He's long and athletic, moves and cuts off the ball, too. It's all those little things that AK had talked about pre-draft, even like the first conversations he's had with Bulls fans addressing the type of player he likes and the style that they want to play. I think that's been drawn down to Billy Donovan as well. And I'm really impressed with him, really impressed with Tice, really impressed with Vooch. Seems like the guys are starting to gel, so I'm excited, man. I think this was a great game for the Bulls, and they played one of their best games together since that trade.
Oh, you can't forget those 2 minutes that he gave to Denzel Valentine in the first half rotation.
Actually, it was 4 minutes. It was 4 minutes.
No,
dope.
But he played 2 more minutes in garbage time.
Oh, you're right. You said 2 minutes of the first half.
He played 2 minutes in the first half, and he got crossed the F up by Caris LeVert, put on skates.
Flex on him, Denzel!
But, and then on the ensuing Bulls possession, tried to dribble through the freaking trees, through the paint, cough the ball up. It was my favorite 2 minute stint in Denzel Valentine's Chicago Bulls tenure, because it was abject failure on both ends of the floor in the span of about 45 seconds.
Poor guy. Zach LaVine had a monster dunk too, and it was nice to see Vooch drops four threes. I mean, Vooch went 32, 17, and 5. That is just flat out ridiculous. So I was excited, man. I don't even care that Vooch shot 29 times. He deserved it. He was the offensive firepower last night. So overall, good win. Glad that they picked up and were able to build off of Sunday's matinee win against the Nets. Just two good wins, and the Bulls need every single win. I don't care how they get them. I don't care that three guys were out and injured. It's good to see them gelling. It's good to see them picking up wins.
Yeah, man. Like we were talking about before the Pacers game, you survived your gauntlet part of the schedule with all the games out west, all the top-seeded teams out west. You didn't win any games, but you got through it. And now between shorthanded Brooklyn, shorthanded Indy, this Raptors team on Thursday that is just falling apart. Atlanta's like okay, but not great. As Stacey said, a very winnable game. They put up the Bulls calendar for like the rest of April pretty much, and it's a lot of winnable games. So hopefully, just like they did against Indy, they can, gain ground in the standings with a win over Toronto and sort of like in the reverse way, keep the Raptors at bay while gaining on Indy with the win that they got last night. I will take wins in any way, shape, or form.
Like our favorite former head coach likes to say,
wins are always good.
With that, we'll take some voicemails and some text messages coming up here. But first, I want to tell you about our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. The Player of the Week, easily, Matt. It's got to be Vooch. After last night's performance, it's got to be Vooch. Absolutely dropped. I just gave you guys the stats. 32 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists. He was 4 for 7 from 3. So he's our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. 2.6 carbs and 95 calories from Michelob Ultra. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end of the game. It's the whole game. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? I sure am happier than I was a couple weeks ago when the Bulls were on a losing streak. So this is nice, picking up 2 wins this week. Go check out Michelob Ultra. I want to thank them. And congrats to Nikola Vucevic for winning Locked On Bulls Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. All right, Matt, with that.
Dude, Vooch has certainly made me happy. I mean, man, it's awesome to have a dude of that caliber on our team. Did you see? So our guy Joe Cali tried to stir the pot, as he always is wont to do, last night after that game, saying, you know, so is Vooch the Robin to Zach's Batman, or is it the other way around? I think it certainly warrants a discussion. Just, you know, always Cali trying to start shit. And I didn't respond to the tweet, but my, you know, reaction to myself was, who cares? We got two all-stars. On some nights, like last night, Zach is the Robin. And on some nights, you know, Vooch will be the Robin. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. So stop trying to start shit. Zach is happy to have Vooch, and I'm pretty sure Vooch is happy to have a player of Zach's caliber as a teammate as well.
I can't even say for sure if either who is who, because neither have ever had the opportunity to have the other guy. Does that make sense? Like,
exactly. Zach, neither has played with a teammate of the other's caliber at any point in their careers.
Like, I'm trying to even think in the Magic. Did the Magic have, like, is Aaron Gordon's not even close? Like,
no.
They didn't. You're right. So it's just to get Bulls fans angry. You know this.
Of course.
Let's take a quick look at the chat from Locker Room. Thanks for everybody that's hanging out with us on Locker Room right now. Here's more of a comment from Colin. He says, Vooch is the first phase of changes. Troy and Tice, too. This is the first change. We can only imagine what's to come. He also added, too, Lowry is gone, Jordan. He's gone. We don't need a second string. $18 to $24 million a year power forward. I'm not disagreeing with you, man. I'm not saying that he's not going to be gone, but as far as short term right now, we still need him to play well. Like, I still want the Bulls to make the playoffs and do well, and part of that means Lowry Markkanen making his shots and having a little bit of confidence in himself. So I don't disagree with the sentiment that he's... I feel more likely that he's gone now than I did pre-trade deadline 2 weeks ago, Matt.
Right, for sure. And I'm with you in the sense that, hey, if Lowry plays well as a bench player now instead of a starter, and we're not worried about, oh, Lowry only took 9 shots and he had, you know, 12 points and we're getting so sick of this, when we thought he was supposed to be the Robin to Zach's Batman and that never came to fruition, if he and Kobe combined for somewhere between 25 and 30 points off the bench every night, that's a pretty darn good bench. You know, even as you said, even if Donovan only goes 7 deep or like 7.5 on a lot of nights, if those two guys are giving you that production off the bench and the Bulls starting unit continues to gel the way that they have, I'm cool with it. Like you said, just for the back half of this season, even if Lowry is gone next season, if you want to make the playoffs and you want to, and you need to start stacking wins, then it's fine to still cheer for Lowry and Kobe to be playing well off the bench.
Well, sometimes you learn by sitting, too.
Let's take some voicemails. You can hit us up, too. So if you're live on Locker Room with us, you can hit us up on our text and voicemail line. If we don't get to one of your questions, 331-979-1369. The place to hit us up, 331-979-1369. Your voicemails, your text messages. Let's go to the first voicemail here, Matt. Let's take a listen to this. Let's listen to the 708.
How are you doing, Matt and Jordan, Craig, long-time listener, first time calling in. I just wanted to comment on the Bulls game that I saw last night, a Pacers game with Vooch and Zach just killing them in the pick and roll. And then the thought came to my mind is, why couldn't Lowry and Zach develop that same type of chemistry in the pick and roll? It's just kind of like confusing to me because Lowry is not so much different from Vooch as far as shooting. Even though Vooch can post up, even though Lowry refuses to post up. But I can't see why that the Zach and Lowry pick and roll couldn't work just as well as the Vooch and Zach pick and roll, which we saw yesterday. I don't know if it's a combination of maybe like Lowry's confidence is down, or maybe Lowry doesn't like to shoot a lot of mid-range shots, which he doesn't shoot a lot of. But I feel as though this is what we saw yesterday with Zach not being double-teamed and blitzed all the time, that maybe that the Lowry and Zach pick and roll, we could have had this all the whole time. I'm confused as to why we didn't run that more, why we did run it, or if they couldn't run it. Because Lowry is just as good a shooter, if not as Vooch, so why he couldn't space it out like that from mid-range and three I just want to know what your thoughts on that, on why do you think that the Lowry and Zach chemistry and pick and roll didn't come to fruition? Thanks. Love you guys.
It's honestly a good question, Matt. It's something that we've talked a little bit about, but not specifically of like why hasn't it worked out. I'll say this for one, like comparing him to Vooch, I mean, that's a little unfair to Lowry, just for the mere fact that Vooch is 30 years old and he's had, what, 11 years of experience in the league? I would like to ask Thaddeus Young that question, is like, how was Vooch in his rookie year? How was some of the vets that Vooch learned under? Like, how was he when he was developing? What are the struggles that he went through too? And maybe there's some stuff that we can dig up from early on in his career that sort of give us an answer to this, because I do think in offensively they have similar skill sets. Defensively, I don't think there's much to compare there, but I think for one, it's a little unfair to put that type of pressure on Lowry, but it's what the Bulls did. I mean, they drafted him in the lottery, but again, Vooch is a vet. He's a two-time All-Star. He's 30 years old. He's been around a long time. Also, I just think Vooch's skill set is probably higher than Lowry's is right now. I'm not definitive on that, but it's pretty clear. He can do a lot of different things that Lowry just couldn't. But you have any idea, any guesses to why you think maybe Lowry and Zach's pick and roll, pick and pop, two-man game just didn't work out?
Well, first of all, there's no question. Vooch's skill set far exceeds Lowry's right now. I mean, there's no question about that. When's the last time we saw Lowry put up 37 and 15? Like that one time. That was fun, right? As far as the Zach and Lowry chemistry never developing, it's frustrating and absolutely accurate. Maybe the fact that Lowry missed some time with injuries throughout the course of his career, he and Zach, even like through, you know, the first couple of seasons together, their number of games together sample size wise was not that great. You know, Zach missed the better first two thirds or so of Lowry's rookie season when Lowry was playing well as a rookie. And then Lowry had some injuries, and you know, they, for whatever reason, the timelines have never quite synced up where they're both like balling. But I also think, you know, I guess in their respective defense, they did not, whether it was Fred Hoiberg or Jim after him, they never appeared to make that a focal point of the Bulls offense. And I know it drove a lot of people crazy. It drove me crazy. It drove my guy Big Dave crazy. Drove our guy Bulldog crazy. It's like, dude, if you have Zach and Lowry, those two together, both of whom can put the ball on the floor, both of whom can shoot, both of whom can drive theoretically, why are you not playing pick and pop, pick and roll with them all the time? Because it seems like it would be pretty damn hard to guard. Like in just a handful of games with Zach and Vooch, where their two-man game already looks deadly. So there are a couple reasons. The Bulls didn't run a lot of it with Zach and Lowry between a bunch of different coaches and systems. And Vooch is better than Lowry. Like, to me, those are the two most clear-cut answers to that question that I can think of. It's they didn't commit themselves to building Zach and Lowry as a tandem. And the guy that Zach is doing this two-man game with stuff with now is a lot better than Lowry, plain and simple.
Again, preface it with the fact that Lowry's been in the league how long and Vooch has been in the league how long. I totally agree with you. I think their skill sets it's night and day. Like, there's no comparison at this point. But my interest more about this question is just like how Vooch was in his first few years in the league, because I don't really know. I don't know early on how his career went. That would be something interesting to compare. But you're right. I don't think Lowry Markkanen's very good at setting screens either. I don't think Wendell Carter Jr. was very good at setting screens either, even though people fawned over his screen setting. Again, I think the main issue is the guys just didn't get any chemistry because they couldn't play any games together. It's like Zach is out, Lowry's out for 4 or 5 weeks, Lowry misses 9 weeks. Like, I think all of that context needs to at least be put out there when we're talking about why things may or may not have worked for Lowry here. Because like we said, like we've talked about a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, some guys just end up going to a different circumstance and ended up balling out, man. And that could certainly happen with Lowry. I just don't know why it didn't work with Zach and Lowry. My best guess, they just didn't have enough games to play together. And they played under two coaches, two completely different systems than Billy's running right now, to your point.
Yeah. And just to give a quick glance at early career Vooch for the sake of comparison, and we know what Lowry's numbers have been from rookie year onward. You know, Vooch played 51 games his rookie year all the way back in 11-12, only started 15 of them, averaged 5-5 in 16 minutes per game. And let's also remember that until his sixth or seventh season, he really shot no threes at all. So that's a hard comparison to make when Lowry right out of the gate was, yeah, he's a seven-footer who can shoot. But Vooch's second and third seasons, he was somewhere between 13 and 14 points a game, and 7 or 8 boards on 50% shooting. But again, just from inside the arc, no three-point shot to his game at that point. His fourth season, he made a big jump to 19 points and 10 boards a game, and has basically been doing something like that for his entire career. Adding the three-point shot in like 17-18 when he started taking 3.5 per game. But so it's not like he was some dominant force in the pick-and-roll, pick-and-pop game the way that we wanted Lowry to be with Zach right out of the gate in his career. He didn't develop a three-point shot until he was 27. Like, you know, so it's a weird comparison to make between him and Lowry.
I'm just thinking more about the system that you were talking about. Is like they didn't set up a system to run pick and pop and pick and roll as much. It was more focused on, hey, let's find the point guard that can figure out how to get the ball to these guys. Zach can do his own thing. We get that, but we still need to get the ball to Wendell. We still need to get the ball in Lowry's hands. And they're not very good at creating off. Kobe's okay at creating his own shot, but look, I read you some ridiculous stat a couple of weeks ago. It was like Lowry Markkanen shot attempts. The ones that he was making this year came on like 80% assisted. That is absolutely ridiculous. It just tells me that the only way he's having any success is on catch and shoots for the most part. So that's, I think, a factor too. This is interesting. I could go a whole episode on this, but I know we don't want to. So thanks for the voicemail. Thanks for the texts. We'll get to a couple more voicemails and texts as well, as well as take maybe a couple of questions and some comments from our friends at Locker Room. Thanks to everybody that's hanging out right now with us on Locker Room. If you're listening to this episode in our feed, you can catch us next week and every single week throughout the rest of the NBA season on Locker Room as we do a live episode every single week and we take your questions. Our first episode was awesome. It was the trade deadline special where we ended up landing Vooch. So that was a whole lot of fun. Last week's was fun too. So thanks everybody that's been hanging out. Before we get to a couple more voicemails, Matt, I want to tell our listeners about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers you for awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code Locked On.
Today's episode is also brought to you by those wonderful folks over at Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar, even deliciouser than ever. Check out some of their new flavors like cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, and carrot cake. Plus some of the OG flavors like German chocolate, raspberry, banana bread, salted caramel, and toffee almond. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health conscious sports fans out there who want to lose a few pounds or maintain their weight while indulging in these delicious treats. Built Bar is low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet if that's your thing. Take, for example, the Cherry Barcia Built Bar, which has 17 whole grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. Right now, if our Locked On Bulls listeners go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, let's go to one more voicemail before we take a couple of people that are live right now with us in a locker room. So go ahead and give us a request to speak. If you do want to ask a question, you got a comment for us, try to get through as many as possible. But in the meantime, let's hit up one more voicemail. This is a little bit about our conversation yesterday, Matt, talking about the Rookie of the Year award.
Hey, guys, call in just a few minutes before the Pacers Bulls game Tuesday night. Just listen to your podcast about the Rookie of the Year. I honestly think this is like with a lot of other teams, like there's always these good rookies that the you watch another team, like, live broadcasted game, like, nationally broadcasted, you hear about, like, oh, this player who's a rookie, he's been doing really well. I honestly sometimes just haven't even heard of this player. I think that's what kind of what Patrick Williams is like with this Bulls team. He's one of those very good players, except he's not very well known. Obviously, part of it is they're not winning, just like you guys mentioned in the show. But, yeah, that's just my thought. And I think he's just one of those guys who are really good. It's just he's not known because there's no nationally televised games. Okay. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Bye.
So I've had a chance to stew on this same topic, Matt, for like 24 hours. And I've just convinced myself now, whether you believe it's irrational or rational, I feel like the circumstances around Patrick Williams' rookie year unfortunately put him in a disadvantage to win this award. Even if, say, his offense was higher, maybe a couple more points per game than it is right now, I just feel like with a weird timing of the draft on top of the weird season, people not really knowing who Patrick Williams was in the draft already. Like, hey, he's right. Your common NBA fan, somebody who just watches their local team and maybe catches one game a week, if that, they're going to have no idea who the hell Patrick Williams is unless you're a Chicago fan. It's funny because, like, I was talking to somebody about Sadiq Bey from Detroit, and they're like, I don't know who the hell that is. I couldn't tell you. If you gave me 10 guesses, I could probably not name the team he was on or what college he came from. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but unfortunately, we didn't have the same buildup and hype of the tournament last year that I think would have helped Patrick Williams, and also the lead-up with the combine over 2 months leading into the draft in the summer.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a year later, and obviously there was some roster turnover, but some pieces that were there last year with that Seminoles team, if P-Dub and that team made a run, much like, you know, Florida State made it to the Sweet 16, right? Elite Eight, I think, did they make it all the way to the Elite Eight? I know that they made it to at least the Sweet 16. So if he were showcased like that in his one-and-done year, there would maybe be some more hype and some more eyes on Patrick Williams. And I think that's why when you and I and Big Dave and John were all watching draft night together and the Bulls took Patrick Williams at 4, a lot of Bulls fans were like, who? What? Huh? Why? Eh. Nobody knew who the kid was because there was no tourney. And like, how many Bulls fans are, you know, watching Florida State games on a regular basis? But between that and the fact that I think the other big thing with P-Dub is through the first half of the season, yes, our caller's right. No, you know, like basically no nationally televised game, so no attention in that realm. But it's not like he has a huge usage percentage. This team, especially with a new front office and a new coaching staff coming in to evaluate, okay, let's see what we inherited. P-Dub is the player that they picked, the first person that they, you know, chose to add to this organization. Everything else it was, we got to figure out what the hell we have with Zach LaVine, with Lowry, with Kobe, with Wendell. So credit to him for earning his spot in the starting lineup out of the gate, which he did. But even being a starter, Patrick Williams was never the real focal point through the first, you know, 40 games of the season. It was, can Kobe White be a point guard? It is, what the hell do we have with Lowry Markkanen? It is, holy crap, Zach LaVine's really good. Zach LaVine's an all-star. Cool, good to know that. But it's not like P-Dub was jacking up a bunch of shots every night. It's not like we're running the offense through him. Whereas you look at some of these other rookies around the league, where especially with D'Angelo Russell injury in Minnesota, all of the time and attention and ball handling and shot, you know, taking that has been given to Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball running things in Charlotte. There are other rookies making much bigger impacts because they are more important in a, you know, just eye test kind of way, at a very forefront. Wait, okay, who's doing most of the heavy lifting tonight? P-Dub, as great as he is and as brimming with potential as he is as a 19-year-old rookie, is not the focal point on pretty much every night, which is okay. It just goes a long way to explaining why people don't talk about him more.
And the mere fact that the Bulls is still, like, I think it goes back to the core point of that just haven't won enough games for them to have the type of attention that some of the other rookies have. And again, I think the Charlotte Hornets too have shadowed this Bulls team just because they've been so exciting and fun to watch. LaMelo's everything that we thought he was going to be. that's really kind of overshadowed things. I think Tyrese Haliburton with the Kings too has done a lot to impress people. It's a weird year. I think when we look back 5 years from now, we're going to say, holy shit, man. Why was Patrick Williams so underrated in his rookie year? Why was he so underappreciated and not really talked about outside of Chicago circles the way that we're talking about him now? I think that conversation is very likely to happen, man. So, unfortunately...
You know why? It's because the thing that people respect about his game right away is his defense.
Correct.
And defense ain't flashy. Defense doesn't get people to click on articles. Defense doesn't get people to watch breakdowns of videos on Twitter or YouTube. It's not flashy. It's defense. People watch the NBA to watch people score. So as you progress through your career, whether you are Kawhi Leonard or Jimmy Butler or Paul George, if you have an offensive game that is almost, if not greater than or equal to, as impressive as your defense is, then people start to pay attention to you. But like, who was paying attention to Jimmy Butler, really good defensive rookie, his rookie season? Nobody. Not a damn person. And that's normal. It is to be expected.
I got 15 guys to develop.
It's closing time.
All right, before we get out of here, let's take a couple of responses that we've gotten from Locker Room, Matt. Some of these are just quick hitters, and just give me your thoughts. From Taylor, who's been with us the entire time, thanks for hanging out, Taylor. He says, any possibility of moving Aminu's contract this offseason? He says, I'm not very knowledgeable about how the player options impact one's ability to be traded, but if possible, I would imagine it would have to be attached to a Lowry marketing move and lessen the value of whatever the Bulls get in return. In my opinion, Bulls will probably just eat Aminu's contract, but I want to hear you guys' opinion. Yeah, he doesn't have as big of an impact as I thought he was going to be, defense first, but I don't know. I honestly don't know. I haven't had much thought about it.
So he's on the books for, I believe, $10 million next season.
Correct.
Which, when Al-Farouq Aminu is playing at the height of his capabilities, is, I think, a pretty darn good value contract. When he came over in the trade and he got a little bit of run in like the first couple of games, and then we haven't seen him since, my educated guess, my hypothesis, is that he was still not in great shape after recently coming back from that injury. Because he missed a good chunk of time when he was with Orlando earlier this season and had just recently returned and played a handful of games. And to me, just watching him out on the court in a Bulls uniform that one time or those two times, he looked like he still was not in great shape, conditioning-wise. So maybe Billy Donovan saw that, and maybe he and Billy Donovan had a conversation that was like, hey, keep working on your conditioning. If I can find a way to get you into the rotation at some point this season, you know, if I call your number, be ready. But right now I got to focus on these guys who are fully healthy and ready to play. So I'm not saying that I've heard that. I'm just saying that based on what I've observed, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's going on with AFA. So as far as moving his contract or, you know, buying him out or trading him this offseason or whatever, I have no idea how the Bulls are going to approach that situation. Because like I said, if he's healthy, he's a darn good player. And at $10 million, I think is worth having around. But we'll see what AK and Eversley think.
Just the thing off the top of my head makes the most sense is just with the clear cap space. So kind of like what Taylor was saying, like if they decide to make a move and they need a little bit more cap space to be freed up, that's a player that could be a part of that too. There's a couple of players coming off the books as well, but the Bulls aren't going to have a whole lot of cap space per se right now till they make the decision about whatever they're going to do with Lowry Marketing. Re-sign him, let him go somewhere else, sign and trade, whatever it may be. But I think a lot of that comes back to decision on Lowry Marketing, which is going to be the height of our conversation once the season is over. Taylor also mentioned really fast, Here's AK and Mark Eversley's move this offseason. Give them all the offseason moves plus giving the full team Built Bars before each game equals Eastern Conference Finals next year. Book it. I'm with them.
Yeah, man.
Last question. This one comes from Hugh. Who would you rather trade for? DeJounte Murray from the Spurs or Malcolm Brogdon? Which would cost more and who fits better for this Bulls team? I would just say right off the bat, I don't think DeJounte Murray is going to be available unless you're willing to trade Patrick Williams.
Right. I'd probably lean Brogdon, but man, I've always liked, since his rookie year, I've always really liked DeJounte Murray and seen a lot of potential in him. And you know, he is one of, I believe, like you said, not expecting to be available, the new pieces that San Antonio is going to start over with. What after whatever they do with DeRozan, they've got a good group of young players, and he's certainly one of them. As far as who would cost more, my guess is Brogdon would cost more. But maybe he is gettable, whereas Murray is not. If the Spurs are like, he's just totally off limits.
I'm on the flip side of that. I think DeJounte Murray would cost the Bulls more, but I think Brogdon would cost you a little less, but it's a little bit more risky. Just considering his injury history over the last couple of years, he's on a fat-ass contract too. So those are all things that you have to keep into consideration, but they're both great players. DeJounte Murray reminds me of the same skill set De'Aaron Fox has, and that's why I loved him, and I would love him in this type of system, man. So I think it's a coin toss on who I'd rather. I'd rather have DeJounte Murray, but I don't want to give up what DeJounte Murray would cost compared to Brogdon. Who's the better fit? Probably Brogdon right now, but long-term, probably DeJounte Murray for me. But that's a really good question, something we're going to have to think about throughout the offseason, man.
Very good question. I would love either of those players in a Bulls jersey. Brogdon maybe lines up a little bit more with the timeline of the Bulls and their win now, but like you're right, he's got lots of dollars heading his way. So that's the other thing that AK and Eversley have to navigate to try and figure out a third star to come play with Zach and Vooch.
I'm with you. Thanks to everybody who's dropped us voicemails, text messages. Thanks for everybody who's hanging out with us and hung out with us throughout this entire episode on Locker Room. Catch us next week live if you want to listen to the episode as we record it. Take some questions. Interact with us while we do the episode. Go download the Locker Room app right now on the iOS store and set up a profile. Make sure you follow Locked On Bulls, Locked On Podcast Network, Jordan C. Malley, and you'll know exactly when we go live next week. We'll make an announcement a couple of days before. But again, thanks for everybody who's interacted with us today. You can hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.